Carl, I just hit the broadcast button and we are now live.
Thank you very much. So good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to this Lane Transit District special Board of Directors special meeting. Today is Wednesday, August 12th, and it's 4:30 p.m. We'll do a quick roll call. Kate Reed is not able to join us today. Joshua Scove?
I'm here.
I do not believe I see Don Norden here. So next we have Caitlin Vargas.
I am here.
Stephen Yet.
Also here.
And no Emily Secord this time either. Just had some quick comments for everyone. I want just to thank members of the public for joining us today. I also want to thank our special guests who will be speaking to us later about their experience as operators. But before we get to that, I want to update the board on what is coming up in future meetings. Next week on August 19th, we will have a work session. Oh, welcome, Don. Just for the record, Don Norden is here. And Don, I'm just about to update the board on some future meeting stuff. So next week on August 19th, we'll have a work session to plan out future agenda items as well as our direction for the next several months. At the regular board meeting, also on August 19th, that will follow the work session, I will be laying out the roadmap and timeline for the evaluation of the general manager. At that meeting, I would like everyone to please be prepared to volunteer to interview community members for that evaluation. And then the week after, at a work session on September 16th, the board's legal counsel, Kristen Denmark, will be making a presentation to us about public meeting laws and ethics. So that is what we will be doing in the next few meetings. And with that, AJ, do you have any comments as general manager?
Yes, Carl, I do. Thank you. Just want to announce publicly, I did send a communication to the board informing them, and we will definitely bring back more information at a future meeting. But LTD was awarded a $3.9 million grant from the FTA, from the bus and bus facility grant program. This is a competitive process that requires us to submit our fleet replacement plan and really talk about what goals we have for improving transit. So out of a very competitive, highly competitive process, we were very successful. Rogue Valley Transit, which are our partners to the south of us, also were awarded a grant, but definitely I want to bring back information to the board at a future agenda item about the details of that. But I thought it was something that we should celebrate and acknowledge, especially in lieu of the board's high expectations for how we replace our fleet with electric buses. So that's what that will be used for.
That is tremendous news. Thank you very much and congratulations. Any announcements and additions to the agenda? Okay, hearing none, let's go ahead and get straight to our guest speakers. AJ, I'll go ahead and let you take over.
Yes, I just want to thank the board for allowing us to share a little bit about what happens in our operation. We typically provide you a lot of ridership data, and Tom Schwetz is here to continue to provide any information about the data. Not a lot has changed since last week. So today we wanted to share a little bit about how our employees are managing the COVID-19 situation. We've been really focused on data to making sure that we were serving the community, which is of course still a high priority for us. But we felt that the board also had expressed interest about how our employees are managing this. And today Jake McCollum, who's our director of operations, and Sino, who Jake could introduce here, will provide you a little bit of an update. Jake, could you please take over and introduce Sino, who he is, and we'll take it from there. Sino, thank you so much for joining us today.
Sure, Kino's with me. He's a bus operator. He also fills in as a temporary supervisor and an instructor as well. So he has a really broad perspective of what we're doing and how we're doing things from a training standpoint in the office, and out in the road and as a bus operator. So I'll switch spots with him, and I'll let you guys ask any questions of Keno, and I'll let him kind of introduce himself and give you a little work history on how long he's been with the district and stuff. So here's Keno.
Thank you, Jake. Hello, everyone. My name is Keno Falls. I've been with the Lane Transit District for coming up on 7 years now. I stay pretty busy with the projects and tasks that I set for myself. Again, being a temporary supervisor, filling in those areas, the instructing, which I really, really love a lot. I do teach mainly customer service instructing to new operators and continued training. It's my passion. I'm a customer service guy, and I really put a lot into that. Any questions?
Oh, Sam, thank you very much for coming to speak with us today. I actually thought would you be able to kind of give us a quick summary about some of the experiences either you yourself directly or some of your fellow operators have, or in customer service as well, have experienced?
As far as customer service with the people that are out there riding the buses?
Yeah, or any aspect of your experience that you think would be helpful for the board to know about.
Kind of like COVID-19.
So as pertaining to the COVID, as operators, it is frustrating for us just because we don't know what direction we're going or coming. Things seem to change on a daily basis. And so for the unsure, kind of makes people uneasy. But I think overall, with what we have set in front of us right now, we're really working hard to make it work, and we are making it work on whatever level we can.
Were there anything else in terms of like how our riders are experiencing the service or getting to where they need to go, or with maybe even anecdotal information about the businesses and other locations that we're taking people to, whether they're how they're appreciating or need something from the service?
So it seems like now more than ever, we're getting a lot more appreciation for us being out there and doing the things that we're doing. We're still providing a service, even though it may be a modified service, but people are very grateful for what we're doing right now. They're understanding. I see small children wearing masks, which is amazing. They can keep a mask on a 2 or 3 year old sometimes. But I think they really do appreciate what we're doing, even though there are some frustrations for being at max capacity. I still think our community is pulling together very well on this.
That is great to hear. Thank you for sharing that. And I see Josh Scove has a question for you. Go ahead, Josh.
Thank you, Carl. And thank you, Keno, for showing up. I really appreciate it. And I have always felt that customer service is one of LTD's strengths. And I'm good to meet one of the people behind it. So I appreciate that very much. I do ride the bus, and I have been really impressed at kind of just the sort of tone and tenor, and people are wearing masks. This is not statistical evidence, but I certainly haven't witnessed anybody complaining about that. And so it seems to be working smoothly. I am curious, from your perspective, just talking to operators and other employees, if you were to do a survey, like if we were going to try to gather information on how things are going and how operators feel, just in terms of how safe they feel, what sorts of questions should we ask people? You know what I mean? Like if we were going to do a survey of operators about public health safety at this moment, what would be the things that you'd, want to know the answers to, or want us to know the answers to?
Well, I hear a lot of lounge talk about filtration systems in the buses and how we can help stop the spread of the virus. I think that's one of their main concerns. And when they're concerned about things, it comes from their home life also, because we're in such turmoil now that we see it every day on the bus, you know, from what everybody else is going through. So I think that's one of the issues that they have, is they do want to feel safe, and I think we need to reassure them of that.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Thanks, Josh. Anyone else who would like to have a, or sorry, not like to, would you have a question or would like to make a comment?
Carl.
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, I just,
it's Caitlin Vargas.
It's Caitlin. I just thought that was really encouraging to hear that people are showing their gratitude and that they're adhering to the policies that we put forward and they understand why. So I just appreciate that story being shared. And I do think that our operators are their own heroes, and they do a really, you know, tough job, but they do a great job at it. And I'm just, it really warms my heart to hear that people are thanking them and understanding why things are the way they are with LTD right now. So that was awesome. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks, Caitlin. Any other questions from the, or comments from the board members? Because I will put myself back in the queue then. Oh, Kino, did you have something else to say?
No, I did not. Thank you.
Well, let me go ahead and ask you. You know, we want to, I'm sure many of the board members and I would agree that we would love to support operators. Are there things that you feel that the board should be looking at or that we could be doing to help you continue the good work that you're doing?
Well, I don't know how you would pinpoint how we're going to do better at that. I mean, our resources are what they are at this time. But from an operator standpoint, when you're out there driving a bus and you do hit max capacity, it's heartbreaking when you have to leave a mother and three children standing there at the stop and the bus is an hour away, and let them know that somebody will be coming out to contact them, because they're priorities are just as important as our priorities. And so to see stuff like that, to see, you know, this is where we're at right now, it is kind of troubling. And I think we're working diligently to try to fix that, but we can't get to everyone. So that is a frustration on our part.
Well, that's very helpful. No, thank you for sharing that. So, I mean, it's good to know that our service is used enough that we even have an overflow problem on certain routes. And sounds like there we can look into it more and figure out ways to address that.
So also, when I am out there doing my TS shifts, my supervisor shifts, and I'm on the road, we hear those calls come in. We hear that people are being left, and we go there as quick as we possibly can. We do offer a transport if we have room and if we're able to do that, or we will call operations, have them send a van or a bus out there to try to take care of these people. So we're not just dropping them, we're doing everything we possibly can. And we want them to know that we do care that they weren't picked up and taken to where they need to go. And we try to take care of that as supervisors out there.
That is really great to hear. Thank you for sharing that. Any other questions or comments from other board members? Okay. Well, I mean, just to, go ahead, AJ.
I would say if there's an opportunity, definitely want to allow board members to ask questions, but I definitely do want to provide a little bit more context to some of the information.
Oh, yes, please do. I think that might inspire some other questions. Go for it.
I will say that in the transit industry and most notably at LTD, who has been recognized as a national leader, customer service is like the number one reason people, besides actually needing the ride, is when people are treated well and have a close relationship with the driver, people are more apt to ride the bus. Those relationships form over days, weeks, years. Some of our operators know our customers and their routines very well. And there's a level of community in taking people to work, taking them to their errands, seeing their kids get on the bus. And there's really this sense of community that our drivers do create here. I know that masks create that barrier, and I have heard operators share with me the fact that wearing the mask, they don't see you smile, you don't see them smile. And that's something that we are working to support our operators, our maintenance team, our procurement team. I know Mark's been leading the charge in making sure that we have some type of shield for the operator. And although we definitely have a lot to learn about, you know, how we continue with masks in the future, we do want to do what we can to support something that our community has valued, and it's part of their working conditions. I know that Kino would probably tell you that, you know, what makes his day is probably the customers and who he interacts and how he knows them. And he talked a little bit about when we do have to leave somebody behind, how heartbreaking it is. But as an operator, he knows that he has to make tough decisions to keep people safe. But then when he's in the supervisor role, he's then, on the other hand, is able to call for somebody to come pick them up. But it really is that close relationship and community that our bus operators have with our customers that I think, you know, we're all learning to manage differently. And I don't know if you would have any more questions, but I think people think that we're only about transportation, but we're really about building community. And that is what our operators do. Probably that's their main job. And our HR department doesn't hire people who know how to drive buses. They hire people who have good people skills, because we know that that's the most important part of the job that LTD delivers every day.
No, I really appreciate that context, AJ. That helps a lot, and just further shows the value of our operators to our organization. Just checking with the board, any other comments or questions? Josh, your hand is up on the computer. I didn't know if that was old or if that you have a new one.
No. Yeah, I put it down and I put it back up again. I just really wanted to second what AJ said. I mean, as someone who's ridden the bus and ridden the bus with children regularly over the course of years, I think that community building piece is a big deal, and definitely masks. It's yet another area where masks make our lives maybe safer, but weirder, because it is harder to sort of have all the kind of nonverbal communication you'd normally have. But I completely agree. I think one of the reasons I mentioned in a meeting a few weeks ago that I'd like us to do more and more systematic outreach to customers is that I really want us to understand the details of that community building aspect of the relationship. I think it's incredibly important for us to have a clear understanding of it, because it's absolutely real and definitely colors, as AJ said, you know, whether people are going to decide to ride the bus or not. So thank you for those comments, AJ.
And Kino, to address something you brought up a moment ago about certainty, I want you to know the board is really committed to working with AJ and other staff to try to make more of that. I hope there's some understanding that as things are relatively uncertain right now, or just definitely uncertain. And so but we'll do our best. If there was any specific thing that that you would like certainty from, is there something we could that you just know that you would like to hear from the board or from management?
Well, that's kind of a tough one, because, you know, where we're at, and there is so much uncertainty from our day-to-day lives to, you know, is football going to play this year? So it's kind of a gray area there. I think the operators and the people here at LTD believe in the board. I believe that you're moving us in a good direction, and we'll continue to do so. You have our well-being in mind. I think that's the overall thought process from LTD. So I don't really have any answers of what direction you should go in to, you know, make it better. We're kind of making it better day to day as we go. For each situation, each thing that comes our way, it falls in our lap. We're trying to make that better at the time. So I know security is a big issue for us. As far as operators go, it seems possibly that we seem to skimp on that area. Sometimes operators see that, so with what everything else is going on, it's kind of a concern there. So I wouldn't mind myself that being looked at in the future.
I'm sorry, Kino, I didn't hear the last 2 cents. Can you repeat that again for me, please?
I think that should be looked at in the near future. Our security officers, like I said, operators want to feel safe. They want to feel safe from virus, but they also want to feel safe out there on the streets when they do.
Oh, thank you for repeating that. Security officers, that was the word I couldn't quite make out. That's very helpful to know. And we will do our best, and we appreciate the good thoughts coming toward us from you and other operators too. So just checking in with everyone else before any other final comments.
I mean, it's not necessarily vital to transit service, but to answer Kino's question, in case people didn't hear, the Pac-12 will not be playing football this fall. So I just wanted to answer that.
Got it. Thanks, Josh. Well, Kino, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us and for doing all the work that you're doing, as well as the other operators. I want to put that out there. And thank you to Jake McCallum, Director of our Operations, for being here too. I think with that, we'll go to Tom. I think you might have some quick comments to make about our ridership update.
Tom, oh, you're on mute, Tom.
Sorry, I'm on mute. I can, if I can share my screen, I can just be able to answer any questions. But let's see, here we go. For the most part, as we've seen in previous meetings, our ridership is pretty steady. And one of the things that we've been trying to think about is how can we make this information more, relevant in terms of how we use it and what we're thinking about in the context that we think about it in. And that's why the last, I think it was at the last meeting that we started talking about how the overloads are, like 2% of our overall trips, just to give folks, again, a context. And in the same way, that's why we've been talking about boardings on trips ending after 8:30. You know, that's, again, some additional context. But also, you know, depending on the time of year, just one of the things that stood out this week looking at the overloads was we had these a higher number of overloads than we've seen in previous times. And as we talked about it, one of the things we understood was a couple of things. One is the temperature. It was really high. The fares, we're not collecting any fares. And so there's a number of routes where people were getting on to stay cool, basically. You notice the same thing with the 60-foot buses as well. A lot of the MX trips last week during the heat of the day, we were talking, Jake and I were talking about how, you know, where on the MX system that's happening. And you may have heard there are homeless camps being set up around the region. There's one next to our terminus of our West Eugene line. And so we suspect, and we're going to break our data down a little bit finer so you can kind of see this, but looking at MX by the leg of MX that it's on, so West Eugene, Franklin, or Gateway. So you can see the differences. And we think, at least based on observation, that a number of the overloads on MX were on that one of the hotter days of the week. And so, again, that's additional context that you don't get just looking at the the graphics. I think the only other thing I wanted to share that is kind of different. As you know, we're part of the American Bus Benchmarking Group that's managed by Imperial College in London. And one of the things they just came out with a report, and I think that is actually in your packet for next week. but they characterized the phases of COVID period ridership levels in the way that you see on this graphic. And they've done, you know, they looked at all the systems that they manage. So not just the American bus benchmarking, but there's an international group, there's a large group, there's several groups. And so there's just, you know, we've been talking about the decline that we've seen, and really we're in a stabilization period. But what they said, what they found from looking at all the systems that they have, and there's like 100 participants in all of the different programs that they have, they characterized recovery as being up to 50% of pre-COVID ridership. And for us, that would be between 17 and 18,000 boardings, which would be about half of what we were carrying pre-COVID. And as we've been saying for the past numerous weeks, you can see we've been hovering around 12,000. So at least in the definition of the benchmarking efforts, we're not quite at this at the beginning of our recovery. And that's going to be a mix both of the level of service we're putting out, but also, again, the conditions within which we find ourselves. And so looking at the state of the economy and as jobs are coming back, and, you know, based on what we've budgeted, we'll be adding more service. So you start to balance, again, those two things. I'll keep coming back to that on a regular basis. You know, we're always looking at balance, how we balance our resources, putting out the most service that we can put out to serve what at the time is essential trip making. And that's another thing that's evolved. So I thought this graphic kind of gave you a sense of just the phases that we think about and just this definition of recovery being used by the benchmarking groups. So I'd ask if you have any questions in that context.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Any questions? And things are going into that for us. I kind of misspoke. It's more just to check in with the people to if they had any questions about the Britain stuff. But I'm glad you launched into the context issue. Okay, seeing none, I think you did great when you have no questions like that. So. Great. Well, we look forward to, thank you for, I think sometimes we probably, I think we do thank you, but I just want to acknowledge you. You know, it takes effort to gather this data, and we appreciate you continuing to do that, and it is very useful. With that, if there is nothing else, I will go ahead and adjourn the meeting. Just making sure. Okay. Well, thank you very much, everyone. Thank you to our special guests. Thank you for the members of the public who joined us today. And I hope everyone does stay safe and healthy. And we will see each other next week for our regular board meeting. And don't forget, board members, we have a work session at 4:00. And then we have our regular board meeting at 5:30 next Wednesday. So great. Good seeing everyone. And please take care. Meeting adjourned.